Thank the Lord for the song. I'm thankful it didn't end with the manger. It is our prayers this morning. This is the fourth message on the doctrine of giving. I will give just a brief review of the other three messages. First message was concerning God being willing. He was our example, being willing to give his only son. Christ's example, giving his own life for our salvation and for you and me to receive the Comforter or the Holy Ghost. Basically, that was the first message on giving. The second doctrinal teaching was on monetary giving. It's very rare for us to preach on money. Most people feel that they are having their hand out. We spoke about the tithing, the doctrine of tithing in the Old Testament. We spoke about the scripture that said, honoring God with our substance. God loves a cheerful giver. We had two questions. Can a man outgive God? And will a man rob God? And so those were the two thoughts that we had in that particular message. He also said in that scripture that we used for us to prove him and to see if he won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you and me out a blessing that cannot be contained. And it is in our bringing our tithes unto the Lord. I know a lot of people are very affected maybe by the word tithing, but it was an Old Testament teaching, and we are obligated to bring our offerings unto the Lord. The third doctrinal teaching on giving started out with the scripture that said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I know we all think of that in terms of money, but that particular message was on sacrificial or the sacrificial life, the selfless life, preferring one another, and the sanctified life. And it had to do with the sanctified life in marriage, specifically for the husband and the wife. We gave this little quote that we had heard, and it was this: do you want to serve Christ? Don't get married. The other part of that was, you want to be more like Christ? Get married. And the reason for that is that we are put to the test in so many areas of our life when we are married, when we are having a relationship with a husband and a wife. And the trials, there are trials, there are tests that happen. So if you want to be more like Christ, get married. And he will give you the grace to be more like him in your marriage. The principles of all commandments start in the home and with marriage. It is a living sacrifice between a husband and a wife, a living sacrifice. And then we quoted the scripture in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, if any provide not for his own house, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith. He has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. By not proving to our companion love and honor and emotional support and security, that affects faith. It affects our prayers. Our prayers are hindered if we are not making those sacrifices to have a marriage to build faith. It also has broken unity when we have a lack of that providing in our marriage. And then the final scripture that we gave in that is, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over, and I know that a lot of people think of that in terms of money, but I count it a scripture that applies to our relationship with our companions also. If you give sacrificially to your companion, it will come back to you. Thank the Lord. So this morning we're going on, I'm going to entitle this one, The Doctrine of Giving Outside of the Home and Marriage. So we're going beyond. We said it had to begin in the home and in the marriage before you could go and serve anyone else. The beginning scripture is from Galatians 6. We're going to look at verse 2 and 7 through 10. And I want us to keep in mind as we speak this morning that Jesus did say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I know that we have used these scriptures, and I know what these scriptures mean. I recognize it has to do with the spiritual walk with the Lord, but I want us to consider this doctrine of giving of ourselves in relationship to sowing to the flesh and the reaping of the flesh and sowing to the Spirit and the reaping of life everlasting. Verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then verse 10 is really my central thought. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we want to speak this morning about all men. The Lord may use another time to speak about the household of faith, but I believe he wants us to be focused this morning on doing good to all men. The next scripture we have is Hebrews 3 and 16. 13, I'm sorry. Knew that wasn't the right verse. 13:16. It says, do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God is well pleased when you and I make sacrifices for others, when we are preferring others. Now remember, we're saying that this has to begin at home before it can be taken out from the home or beyond the marriage. We've got to have the establishment of this kind of giving to those that God requires us to provide for. Doing good to all men as we have opportunity. The direction that our thoughts have been this morning may be the opposite side of the coin to start off with. I want us to consider the scripture, this scripture, for balance. It's Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 6, and it says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. We're living in a world where there are givers and there are takers. I believe we all understand what we need to do to give. And as I speak about the takers, it is not to point fingers at anyone, but it's to warn us that we not have that mindset. So we want to speak a little bit about those that are takers, because we're in a society that I call it a welfare mentality. People are always trying to get something for free. a handout, if you will. We're in a time where there are what is called panhandlers. And oftentimes we see the very same people standing at the same corners and possibly at other corners. And they have their handout. And they have a sign that will generally say something to get to touch your emotions and cause people to give them money. I remember a number of years ago when I was working here in the school, and we got calls here at the church all the time for people for help. And most of those, if not all, proved to be false. I could tell the stories of being burned myself. Well, this particular day, it was a very cold day, a little bit of snow, and I was headed over to Crest over here before I went home from school. There was a man standing at the corner, and he was limping quite badly, and he had a sign that said, "We'll work for food." That's a lie. And when you see those kind of signs out there, you know, I know that the men and women that are standing out on corners like that are not really God's people. That's a strong statement, isn't it? The reason I know that is because God has promised to supply their needs and that they will not be begging. That's what the scripture says. I didn't say that. The scripture says they will not be begging bread. So you can rest assured that those that are out there possibly would fall into the categories, and this is a strong statement, but possibly would fall into the category of dogs and swine. And when you and I have been working and for our resources, and we have our resources consecrated to give to the glory of God, I'm going to make a strong statement, but that's not to the glory of God. So this man, he's crippling. I will work for food. And it touched my heart. And those of you that know Crest, it was at one time a very good place to shop price-wise. I went in and I bought a whole grocery cart of food for this man. Shopped very carefully, conservatively, food that would go a long ways. And so I go back to my corner, and he's still there, and I drive up, and I roll down my window, and I say, "I don't have any work for you to do, but I do have food. Where do you want me to put it?" And so he points to the other corner, and there's another man over there. And he said, "That's my brother over there, and he has a car." So I'm still gullible, and I drive over there, and I pull up, and he starts, "I invite them to church." Oh, they said, "Our grandmother was Church of God." They have, listen, this is dangerous before God. God's listening to these. Don't you know that God judges these kind of things? When we have an example in the Bible of Ananias and Sapphira, what did Peter say? "You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost." So when you see these people on these streets, they need our prayers more than they need our money. They need prayer for true salvation. Because God has promised, you're not going to have to beg bread. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. But I still want to talk to us about takers. Those are the obvious takers. There are sometimes not so obvious. Probably in every one of us, we like to get something free that would alleviate our budget just a little bit. I'm not saying that is wrong in every case. But if we're presenting our case in a way that I'll give you a scripture. Let me see if I wrote it down. It's in Proverbs, and I tore it off. But I can tell it to you. The writer there says, it is not to the seller. And then they go away and they begin to brag on the bargain that they got. Now, is that acceptable before God? If we come and present our need, I'll give you another example. At this time of the year, there is a great push for the children that will not have any toys under the tree. There is a great push for children that do not have coats. So please buy a new coat and bring it and donate it, and we will get it to the children. Now, I'm not saying that there is no children out there that don't have coats and don't have toys. But there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of those kind of situations just to make their pocketbook a little bit more full. That's true. They fall under this category. It is not. But then they go away and they brag about their bargain.
Proverbs 20 and 14.
Could you read it for us, please?
It is not,
saith the
buyer.
When he has gone his way, then he boasteth.
I want to tell you, God looks on that, and it is an abomination. It's a stink in the nostrils of God for a man to present his case as, that's not worth anything, but then he knows he's taken advantage, and that's the wrong. It's not wrong to make an offer on something. Now, we're talking about really buying something. It's not wrong to make an offer. All of us have done it if we feel, and they can accept our offer or they can reject it. It's when we go away, or if we've presented it in such a way that I just can't pay any more than that, when possibly they could. God knows these things, and it's the same with the taker's mentality. Now remember, there's givers and there's takers. And the takers that has a mentality of you owe me, that's wrong. God cannot bless it. He cannot enrich your life. He cannot even supply your needs if you're presenting your case in a false way. Did you know that our country, part of the problem of our country is the fact that there's too many takers? Part of the problem is that the welfare system was designed to truly help those that were truly in need. But this mindset began to take hold, and the people began to want anything that would allow them to have more money to spend somewhere else. And God is not pleased. So this is our society today. And I have some scriptures. Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may know of some really poor people. It's hard to find the truly poor people today. A lot of the poor people still have a lot of the things that rich people have. Have what? They do. They have the luxuries. Most of the time, you'll find that they'll have a television in their home, and it's a digital now because the other will not work. And you will find that they have microwaves. Is a microwave an essential part of our life? Now, I'm not criticizing these kind of items, but I'm just pointing out that the poor, the people that are claiming to be really poor in our land today, compared to those that went through the Depression. You can hear stories of people that went through the Depression that had very little to eat and no luxuries. Barely enough heat to keep their family alive. I mean, I've read stories, Christmas stories, of people that went and took and helped. That's the kind of giving God's looking for. That's the sacrificial giving, and that's the true need. So the poor, Jesus said it, you'll always have the poor. But what about the takers? Some of the things that came to my mind was, I've already mentioned them, the free coats, free toys, free groceries, and we'll pay your utilities. You can apply to this program and we'll pay you. I know there are people out there that need that, but not everyone. And God knows those that don't really need it, that can afford to pay their own way. I'm also thinking about individuals that want financial gain through our laws. In other words, this is one of them. The parents taking their estate and putting it in their children's names. That has to be done X number of years before they go to the nursing home or it's of none effect. But people do that. And then the government pays their time in the nursing home. That's not right. If you have the money, if you have been sufficient and you have provided for your house, it is not right to do that, even though the law says that you can do it that way. There's many others that we call takers and not givers. And God's calling for you and me to be givers. I want to read you a scripture that tells me how he looks at, he has a family plan for giving and taking care of our family. This is 1 Timothy 5 and 4. And it's speaking about a widow. But I believe that the principle of this scripture covers all of our needs when it comes to family. And it says, if any widow have children or nephews, and the reference on that says, or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite the parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. I believe that we should take care of our own. I believe that was the principle of our nation originally. It wasn't for the government to take care of all of these takers. God wants our widows to be taken care of. And actually, this was to be first before the church stepped in and took care of the widows. There is a place for the church to take care of widows. But it first applies to the children, to the grandchildren, to even nephews and nieces. We learn to take care of our own at home. You believe that? It's the Word of God. So that's the principle. And then this is an old proverb that you've probably heard before. We're still talking about giving to those that are takers, that are not worthy. It says, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. That's man's thoughts, but there's a principle in that that is true. For a person to be self-sufficient. Now, I keep inserting this thought. We know there are people that need help. We're talking about the ones that really don't need help. They are called takers. There are those that are truly poor and needy. God wants you and me to consider the poor. Consider the weak. He tells us this all the way. Jesus says it. We are to take care of those truly in need. That's your sacrificial giving. Do not sacrifice giving to a taker. That is money that should be given to the poor and the needy that God wants you and me to take care of. So, Paul said, what did Paul say? He said, if a man does not work, he was not to eat. You and I work. We take care of our families. We take care of our needs. But do you know, and I know you know this, the saints have always been generous people. When there is a real need, even if it's not poor, let me give you an example. When our daughter died, did you know the saints just stepped in? They just sent money. Saints love to help each other. Now, that's going to be another message altogether. But I'm telling you, those that are living by the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit will minister that you can minister to somebody else. The saints do that. They have a care. They love to help. So, if you don't eat, if you don't work, don't eat. Now, these next scriptures that I'm going to quote to you identifies the cause of people that are takers. These are mostly in Proverbs. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, so shall poverty come. Now, we understand there's a spiritual application to that, but there is a literal application to that too. You lazy? You don't get up and go to work? You lose your job? You're going to come to poverty. You can't be lazy and be rich all at the same time. The next one says, he that loveth pleasure shall be poor. You love pleasure more than you love work? It's just a matter of fact. You're going to be in need. And whose fault is it? So he that loveth pleasure shall be poor, and he that loveth wine shall not be rich. Another scripture said, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And then look at this one. Drowsiness shall clothe a man in rags. Well, we're in a society where people do have this mindset, I want to get something for free. And so we have all of these casinos now where if they have just a little bit of money, they'll think, I might get more. And then we have the lottery. And oh my, the testimonies. I can't remember where this was, what state it was. But in this one particular place that sold them, I think they had two major winners. And it caused all the people to go to that one, because they thought that there was something about that store that might have better chance. And all at the same time, they're just getting more destitute. And the children, look at the children. What happens to the children? They suffer. They suffer hunger. They suffer in need because the parents are out here doing things that is taking what little money that they have and putting it on something that is worthless. Oh, God has a much better plan, doesn't he?
Yes.
Now, those are our thoughts on takers. Now let's look at what the Lord wants us to do. Proverbs 11, 25. It says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Verse 24, just above it, "There is that that scattereth and yet increaseth." What is that talking about? It's talking about giving. When I sacrificially give, either of my time, my energy, either in money or whatever I am giving, if I give liberally, if I scatter it, it says in one place, "Cast thy bread upon the water, you'll find it after many days." You remember that scripture? There's something about faithfully helping and serving and giving. I think about the apostles as they were at that gate, and there was a man that had been crippled from his mother's birth or womb, and he was holding out. Now, see, that was a real need. He could not help himself. He depended upon those that had mercy and gave. But they didn't have anything to give. The apostle said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." What did they have? They had something that freed him. They had the power of God. They had the answer to his problem. Now, we may not be able to bail somebody out financially. Most of us would not be able to bail somebody out. But maybe we can point them to the one that can bail them out. "Such as I have, I give I thee." So here it says, you can scatter and yet it increases. That's what the Lord is wanting in our sacrificial giving, is that we can give, but we get more. If I give of my life, he said, if I give of my energy, the scripture says, "As your day is, so shall your strength be." You can't outgive the Lord. His word and his promises are real, and yea and amen and forever set. Trust in him. Give of yourself. There will be increase. But look at the last part of this. "There is that that withholdeth more than is meet." I didn't give the amount that he said to give. I held back a little bit. And then it says, that will tend to poverty. And then it says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat." Oh, I want to tell you, God has a plan that is so rich in our giving. This is the doctrine of giving. The next one is the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 9. And it says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." And the Isaiah then 58. And verse 10. "If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall Thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Oh, I want to tell you, God has blessings for us. If we have learned to give sacrificially in our home and our marriage, He will guide us. Have you ever said, Lord, help me to find somebody that's really in need? Help me to really be able to be a blessing to somebody out there. I believe the Lord knows everyone that are His, and that He knows how to help us to find those really in need and not cast our pearls before swine or our bread to the dogs. That's how God looks at it. The takers have no favor in His sight. Our final scripture is over in Luke, and we have several verses that we want to leave with you today. Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm thinking of verses 27 through 38. Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. The scripture that we said that we read in the beginning here, do good unto all men. And it ended in that part that this was acceptable with God. Do good. So now Jesus is giving us something here that takes a lot of grace to do good to our enemies and to those that hate us, to do good to those that curse, pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Goes beyond. Goes the second mile. It is not a sin on your part if you give and it happens to be a taker. It happens all the time. Actually, in this congregation, we've had down through the years many people that have been takers that have come. And the trustees made a decision, a little ruling, if you will, that in order for us to help them, they needed to sit through a service. This congregation has been in operation for over 50 years. Would anyone like to identify how many has gotten saved in 50 years that we helped, either with gas or food or whatever? I want you to look around the congregation. Do we have any members today that could stand up and say, you all really helped me and it won me to the Lord? Not one. Maybe I should back up. We did have the little man that came here frequently that lived in a tent over here. We did help him. And he died. Now, whether he died saved, we don't know, but he did listen. So maybe one in 50 years. Was that a sin on our part? No, it wasn't. But God is going to require that of everyone that took. That money that could have been given to a real need in the church, that we help them. We're not sinning. but yet they're going to be chargeable. That's serious. You know, we really ought to pray for those that are taking advantage of the saints or of money. So Jesus has given us some places that really require grace. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if we love them which love us, what thank have ye? And it comes down to this principle. If we love them like they love us, sinners do this. And if ye do good only to those that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners, people out there, sinners that aren't even doing it to please God, they love to do good to those that do good to them. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also, lend to sinners to receive as much again. And then again it says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's our little thought this morning. It's the doctrine of giving. The Lord is calling for us to be givers and not takers. He said in his word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Pray for me.